Good morning. This is Becky Spieth, the Christian Direct Seller, and I just want to welcome you into the presence of God this morning. I don't know about you guys, but it just seems like when June 1st hits, I just feel so happy and summery. I just can't hardly stand it. And I just want to praise God for beautiful sunshiny weather. Hopefully you're having sunshine in your area. And I just want to praise Him for you being on the call. You know, one of the things that was on my heart this week was stinking thinking. And I had to watch my thinking a couple of times and really repent to the Lord. So that's what we're talking about this week, is we're talking about stinking thinking. Where did it start? What does it lead to? And what do you do to stop it? And I don't care who you are, but you may not experience this to the frequency that I see it, but I see a lot of stinking thinking around, and we know that it's not of God. So what I want us to do is I'm going to take you through a lot of scripture today, but just kind of hang with me on this, and if we need to take it into more than just 1 week, we'll go ahead and do that. But where did it start? Well, it started in Genesis, of course. We know that, right? Just go back to the very beginning of the Word of God, and we're going to see where some stinking thinking happened. It started in Genesis 2, 15 through 7. I want to talk about what God really said, because, of course, the stinking thinking didn't come from Him, but it started in the Garden of Eden. It actually started before that, when Satan was actually wanting to be like God and wanted to exalt himself and got some bad thoughts going on and really caused him and a third of the angelic hosts to fall. He was actually the archangel that was created for praise and for worship, and he was the most beautiful archangel that God created. He had the most beautiful sounds and filled the heavenlies with the most beautiful music and sound. And then he got some bad thoughts going on in his head, thinking he could be just like God and be greater than God, and wanted to exalt himself up and not be the person or the angelic host that he was created to be. He wasn't a person, he was an angelic host. But sometimes we do the same thing. And what happened is he actually was a displaced spirit, so he decided that he was going to find some place to hang out, and he found Earth. And when he found Earth, it was his deal at that point. He was going to get God, because he hates God and he's angry. And so he decided, you know what, I'm going to go after this creation, because all that Satan was ever designed to do here on Earth and what his purpose is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You know, that's not what God's plan was for him, but he messed up big time, now has to deal with this. And so guess what happened? In the garden, God said, you know what? I'm going to create Adam and Eve, and it's going to be a beautiful place, and I'm going to give them a great job, and we're going to have intimate fellowship together. It's going to be such a great experience. So this is what God said. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. So are we supposed to work our businesses? Yep, we are. And to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you'll certainly die. That's what God said. He said, you can have anything you want, just don't eat from this. So then what does Satan do? In Genesis 3, 1 through 6, it says, now the serpent, who was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made, and he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? He wanted to just kind of get into her thoughts. He started whispering those little tiny thoughts into her mind. And the woman said to the serpent, well, we can eat of any of the fruit of the trees of the garden, except for the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. And God said, you cannot eat of it, neither you shall touch it, lest you die. Now, did God say she couldn't touch it? Nope. She's stretching the truth just a little bit. It's already starting to turn over in her mind, that stinking thinking. But the serpent said to the woman, well, you won't surely die. You shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day that you eat it, your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to be like God. Doesn't that sound familiar? That's what he was trying to do up in heaven. He got a third of the angels cast out of heaven. Knowing the difference between God, between good and evil, and the blessings and the calamity. So he's saying, you know what? If you do that, you're going to be just like God, and you're going to be able to see the blessings and the calamity. And God doesn't want that for you. He wants to just hold all that for himself. And when the woman, and I want you to really pay attention to this word, when the woman saw that the tree was good, suitable, pleasant for food, and it was delightful to look at. So what was happening? At that point, she started looking at it. She was listening to it. She let it kind of listen into the whispers, listening to the thoughts. Then she started looking at it. She hadn't really touched it yet, but she kept looking at it and looking at it. How did she know it was suitable and pleasant? How did she know it was delightful to look at? Then what happens here, the next part of the scripture says, and a tree to be desired in order to make one wise. She took of its fruit and she ate, and she gave some also to her husband and he ate. Well, we know what happened from there. What God said was true. They died spiritually with a separation from God. So when we have these negative thoughts, we've got these thoughts from the enemy that are just a little bit twisted. They don't even have to be super bad thoughts. It's easy to tell what thoughts are the super bad thoughts, right? But we hear just a little bit of that whisper and we keep looking at it. And we see it, and then we decide, you know what, well, it's not really that bad. Well, you know, I wonder if a part of that is what, you know, is that really what God meant? I wonder if a part of that's good for us. Then we start to desire it. When we look at things and continue to look at the things that God doesn't have in our plan for us, that go against his character and his will for our lives, what happens is a lot of times, all of a sudden, pretty soon, what happens is we discard and we disregard the logic that we have and the common sense, and we dull that intuition from the spirit in our spirit man that's aligned up with our spiritual DNA and the Holy Spirit. Then we try to debate about the consequences of hell. How awesome is this that God gave us that intuition, but how many times do we disregard it? So if we're not supposed to be thinking about these little whispers and these negative things and the stinking thinking, what are we supposed to be thinking about? Well, it tells us what we're supposed to be thinking about in the Word in Philippians 4:8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So let's think about this with our business. It starts off with whatever's true. Let's start with bookings. Is it true that no one wants to schedule a party? Is it true that party plan is a thing of the past? Is it true that no one's sponsoring? That no one's interested in your business opportunity? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Is it excellent? Are you working your business to excellence? And is it praiseworthy? You know, it tells us in Hebrews 3:12 and 13, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, well, this is where the sinful part, he's going to explain it here, listen, unbelieving hearts that turn away from the living God. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. If the Lord gave you your business, and he's called you to that, and he said, I'm going to help you be successful, because he told us in Jeremiah 29:11 that he's given us a hope and a future. Is it true that you're not going to be successful in your business? Or is it coming from a sinful heart of unbelief? It tells us in verse 13, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sinful deceitfulness. So that's my job here today, is I'm hoping that we're going to turn some of that unbelief and that unbelieving heart and turn you back to the Lord and help you be encouraged. You know, Satan knows that if he can keep your eyes on the forbidden fruit or the fruit of destruction, we'll begin to desire it and then give Satan permission and legal rights to invade our minds with it. Just like Eve, you know, God said at the beginning, told Adam, you know, you can eat anything you want, just don't eat the the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, no problem. Got it, God. Good. But what Satan is, just look at it. Just look at it. It's not that bad. You don't really know what can happen if you do that. What if it isn't really what God has called you to do? What if God really had, maybe for a season, maybe for a time, maybe that's not really what it is. He starts whispering these things, and then we start looking at it, and then pretty soon we're desiring, well, maybe what Satan's saying is right. Maybe we should be doing that. Maybe we should be eating the forbidden fruit. The forbidden fruit is really just fruit of destruction. Again, what's Satan's main mission here? To kill, destroy, and to take and kill us. Rob, to kill, and destroy. So if we can win with our minds and with our thinking, we can win in our circumstances, in our life, and in our business. You know, Jesus gave us the example of what to do when we're tempted and how to win the battle. It's found in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. But before we read that and we see exactly what we're supposed to do in this situation, I want to first break it down into the realms of temptation. Because if you notice, when Satan, this is when Jesus is in, after he's been baptized, he goes into the desert for 40 days to fast and to pray. He's hungry. I don't care what anybody says. If you're not eating, you're starving Marvin by your 40th day, right? So he's pretty hungry. So what does Satan do first to tempt him? He tempts his flesh, and that's where he gets us all first. Jesus overcame that, and that's the physical realm. Then Satan tempted him in the mental realm. That's the realm of pride and of the mind. And lastly, he tempted him in the spirit realm, the realm of worship. Satan even tried to get Jesus to commit suicide by jumping off one of the high places. So if Satan tried to do this with Jesus and tempted him in all these ways, and Jesus showed us how we can overcome all of the temptations, how did Satan do this? He was whispering thoughts into Jesus' mind. He was talking to him just like we get those thoughts coming into our mind and whispered into our ears. Satan knows that if he can get us to kill ourselves, that he is won. Because what happened now that Jesus has come, he doesn't have authority to do that. Even though he tries to trick us that he does, he doesn't. So what he does is if he knows he can't kill us, he tries to play on our mind to destroy our own lives, to kill our own lives, to kill our own businesses, to kill who we are and the destiny that God has given us. We know that we have the power to do all things through Christ. So let's read these verses. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." You're hungry. If you're the Son of God, which God could have made that, I mean, Jesus could have just made that be a great loaf of bread and just feast it out. But Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God." So what did he do? He could have said, "You know what, Satan, you know I can't do that." Or, "You know I'm in the middle of a fast right now. You know I'm in the throes of all this." And, you know, no, what did he do? He didn't rely on his own strength, his own wisdom, his own feelings. What he did is he just said the word of God back to Satan. So then that kind of took the wind out of Satan's sails. And he's like, okay, great. Now what am I going to do? Okay. So then he says, then the devil took him to the holy city. He had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, "If you are the Son of God," questioning who? Think about this. He's questioning Jesus, the Son of God, about his identity in Christ or in God. Just like he tempts us on who our identity is in Christ and in God. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down." He's trying to get him to commit suicide. "For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." He is even trying to get him to question the word of God. He's even sneaky. He's trying to use some of that. Jesus answered him, "It's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Plain and simple, didn't argue with him, just said, "You know what, this is what God says." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. "All this I'll give to you," he said, if you'll bow down and worship me. That third temptation. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is important. This is one of the keys. We can just say, you know what, get away from me, Satan. And it's important that we say it with our mouths. And we say out loud what the Word of God says in our particular circumstance. We speak a promise from the Word of God. Do you know what happened after that? It says in verse 11, then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Whatever you give your attention to, you're going to do. If it's the Word of God, you'll stand strong. So how can you change your thoughts? We need to pay attention to what we're sowing. It tells us in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, do not be deceived and deluded and misled. Okay, so who deceives, who misleads us, and where does delusion come from? The enemy, right? It says God will not allow himself to be snared and to be mocked, but merely by merely pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. I want to stop here again. I just want us to know that I'm in on this too at times, that sometimes we confess with our mouths things that aren't even true. Sometimes we set aside what God has really called us for and what our true callings and intentions should be. It tells us, if we continue reading this, he inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. Ooh. When I read that, I was like, whoa, that's painful. How many times have I done that? I had to repent. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he's going to reap. So think about what you've said about your life. Think about what you've said about your business. Think about what you've said about your spouse. Think about what you've said about your children. Tell us in verse 8, for he who sows in his own flesh, his lower nature, will from the flesh reap decay and ruin and corruption and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. If you sow nothing to get bookings, guess what you're going to get? You're not going to have any bookings. If you sow by doing activities to get bookings, you're going to get bookings. And this goes for all realms of our life and business. If you keep sowing through your words and actions or the lack thereof, you're going to reap that. Keep in mind that words dominate your thoughts. I want you right now to just take a moment and in your mind think and count from 1 to 10. Ready? Go. Now I want you to say your name. Say it out loud. Becky. Mm-hmm. What happened? Your words dominated your thoughts. You couldn't keep counting to 10. You stopped wherever you were at. Maybe you're on number 3, 4, 5. But when you start to speak, the thinking stops. So if you're having a thought from the enemy, don't act on it, but rather kill it with the Word of God. You know, I've got a fantastic resource on my website that I just wanted to let everybody know. And I actually listen to this every day. And it's called The Word on Business, Speaking Success Scripturally. And what I've done is I've gone through, and actually the format is designed so that you can say the scriptures out loud and you can get really familiar with them. But I've broken things down into different categories around business and what the Word says about it. About who you are in Christ is just one of the topics. What do you believe? What do you believe about your business? Where do you get your power? I've got the power from God. What about money matters in business? There's all kinds of different categories. I think there's 7 different tracks on that. But I would really consider you getting it and just playing it over and over and saying some of those scriptures, because it'll get you really familiar with those. But remember that a wrong thought is not a sin, but acting on it is. So get rid of the thought as soon as possible so desire doesn't swell up and grow in us like it did in Eve and end up where we act on it. The Word says to take every thought captive, according to 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Sometimes the place where the arguments are taking place are actually in our own thoughts and in our own heads, right? The Bible tells us that when we have that mind of Christ, that it's supposed to be in several different areas, not just having intellectual understanding, but it really means understanding that includes our mind, our heart, our imagination, our will, our emotions, and the ability to discern. It's about having an intimate relationship with Christ. In Ephesians 6:16, it tells us, above all, taking on the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, even feeling unworthy, or that you don't know enough, or that you're not good enough, or that you'll fail, or that you've been a failure, or that you don't have enough time or money to pay the bills, or whatever. Those are all lies and stinking thinking thoughts from the enemy. So what else can we do? We can brace up our minds and be sober, being morally alert, setting our hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, which is the divine favor that's coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed in us. Also remember that grace is not permission to keep on sinning, but grace is God's ability to live holy, according to Romans 6, 1 and 2. You know, one of the things that we can do, which is a really important thing, is to read the Bible each and every day. And how much are you supposed to read, right? Because I would like to ask someone, are you supposed to read a chapter? Are you supposed to read a book? Are you supposed to read a verse? What is that? Read until you're full. Just like some days, you know, I can have a piece of watermelon, and that's like great for lunch for me. Some days, I want a big steak and a potato and a huge salad. Read until you're full. You're going to know when you're full. You're going to feel satisfied. You know, also, think about what it says in Isaiah 26:3. It says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character. So our mind is what we want to do, as well as our character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So we need to keep our mind on Christ, and the best way to do that is to use the word, because the word is an anchor for our mind and our souls. You know, some people ask, where do the thoughts come from? And I just want to make sure I'm really clear on this. I know we're at the top of the hour, so I apologize, but I've got just a little bit more to share. If you need to pop off, know you can listen to the recording. But I just want to share just a little bit more so you can get super clear on the rest of this. You know, some people have problems recognizing when God's speaking because they assume all thoughts they have originate from their mind. But it's not necessarily so, because some thoughts originate from the spirit realm. Both God and the demonic have the capacity to speak to us in that realm. We've learned about that earlier already today. Both God and the demonic have the capacity to speak to us in that realm. And when we read in the scripture that there are arguments, when we read that in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, and that high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, that's where that demonic whispering, that's what that they're talking about. And that we are to bring those thoughts into captivity and obedience to Christ. When we recognize the thoughts from our carnal flesh, and we realize that they're hostile to God, according to Romans 8:7, we can also recognize that that there can be thoughts from the devil, because anything he speaks to us is based on lies, according to John 8:44. His words have the goal of stealing from us, killing the life of the spirit within us, and destroying us, according to John 10:10. Dear person that's listening to this and who's joining us or listening to the recording, I want to encourage you to keep your mind on the Word of God. Keep your thoughts, keep your words on the Word of God, because that is our anchor for our mind and for our souls. That's how we're going to stop the stinking thinking. It also tells us in Proverbs 4:20-26, my son, attend to my word. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. See, that's what happened, is Eve took her eyes and she saw the forbidden fruit. She saw the things that the enemy wanted to destroy her with. And then she started to desire. God said, keep your sight on my words. Keep them in the center of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, healing and health to all their flesh, overcoming that temptation of the flesh. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. Put away from you false and dishonest speech, and willful and contrary talk put far away from you. Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you. That's your path. Consider well the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established and ordered aright. God wants to establish your way, wants to establish your business. He wants you to have a clear path for what you need to do. Don't look at things that cause fear, because those are not those things we're supposed to be thinking about. So if you're fearful about something in your business, you're fearful about something in your life, don't look at it. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Stand on what you know according to the word of God is true. And keep God's word in your heart and coming out of your mouth. Speak a scripture promise to the word and say it to Satan. If his thoughts come into your mind, tell him to get out and then just do just what Jesus did. Use that promise from the word of God. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to move into prayer right now. Father God, thank you so much. We love you. We want to praise you. I want to thank you for how you do answer our prayers, how you do listen to us, how you love us and you care for us, and how you not only give us life and give it to us abundantly, you've given us examples through Jesus on how to overcome the temptations, how to overcome the stinking thinking, how to serve you, how to be victorious, how to overcome instead of staying in overwhelm. Lord, I thank you that we have good attitudes, that our attitudes are positive, our thinking is positive, and it stays on your word. And Lord, I pray that you will help Kimberly to be joyful at home as she's experiencing some of the throes of motherhood and the joys that can come from lipstick all over the face, to messy drawers sometimes, to cleaning up together and finding peace and order in her home. Lord, I pray that you will help her to focus on the things that you want her to focus on and not to be in overwhelm or feel distraught or unworthy or frustrated that she was not keeping her home in a way that she felt it needed to be kept. We rebuke depression in the name of Jesus, and that you would help her to have balance with a good attitude. Help her to find joy in the journey this week as she's working on getting things in order to the way that she'd like them to be. Father God, I thank you now in the name of Jesus that we do have the mind of Christ. Lord, that you will help us to focus on the things that you have for us. We rebuke you, Satan. You must take your hands off of every business, every life, every family that's within earshot of this, Lord. We are God's children. We are children of the Most High God. So, Satan, get your hands off. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace that goes beyond understanding. Thank you that we can anchor ourselves in your word. Thank you for an intimate relationship. Thank you that we can keep our minds on you and that we can renew our thoughts and renew our minds. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for an amazing week. We thank you for many prayers that are being answered. We love you, Father God. We thank you for abundance. We thank you that the angels are going out before each and every person that is listening to this, Lord, that the favor's going out before them in their life and in their business. We thank you that we have all things and that we can ask anything in your name and we can have that. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all you do for us. We love you, Father God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, everybody. I'm going to turn off the recording. I will stay on for another minute and see if there were any other prayer requests, and know that I'll be praying for you all week. If not, if I don't talk to you between now and next Monday, I'll see you next Monday. And be sure to invite some other people to join us. The replays will be listed on Facebook on The Christian Direct Seller, and all of the replays from all of my past Bible studies are on my website, www.beckyspeeth.com. If you go to the events tab, there'll be a pull down that will have all of the Bible study recordings that we've done so far. Take care and God bless you. I'm going to stay on for just another minute for other prayer requests.